Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
All right, so here's the deal. good afternoon, Kansas City. How's everything going? John Grayson here with you in for Dana and Parks because, well, as you just heard, Dana was unable to go today and Scott is still halfway across the country. So they decided that even though I'm halfway across the country, it would still be all right if I was here. Sam Stevie, it is so good to see you, my friend.
So good to see you again, man. You keep trying to retire and we just keep dragging you back.
Every time I think I'm out, they drag me back in. Yeah, I know. It's a weird thing, but hey, you know, life is good. And yeah, just to give a little update as to where things stand right now, because of course, when I left, I was on my way to another country, and the move is still pending. It has been such a crazy time trying to get our visa appointments and trying to get everything squared away so that we could move. We finally are seeing things move in that direction. It's probably going to be another few weeks, but we have our visa appointment and I can't wait. So it's still progressing. I thought we would have been gone for months by now, but it just didn't turn out that way because it turns out, for some reason, there's lots of people wanting to move out of the U.S. into Portugal right now. So I can't figure out why, but I guess, you know, we're something of a trendsetter. And
influx or not, I mean, I'm no expert because I've never moved out of the country, but I can imagine that there was a lot of paperwork anyway.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's unbelievable. And it's funny because the things that we're learning about how things work over there is so different because, I mean, Sam, describe what you think the process of opening a bank account is. Like, what do you have to do to open a bank account?
Well, let's see. I haven't opened one since I was 16, but I walked into the bank. I sat down. I handed them my ID and I said, I'd like an account. Here's some money.
Pretty much it. Yep. Okay. So it's not quite that simple in Portugal. You need, first of all, the tax ID number, which is akin to like a social security number.
Okay.
And to get that, you need a whole bunch of other things. And one of the things that you have to have in place before you have anything else is an address in Portugal. You have to have a place to live before you can get a bank account, which is weird, but okay.
Yeah.
So we did that. And so, yeah, we've been paying rent on a place right now for about 6 months that we can't live in yet.
No way.
So that's always fun. But yeah, and again, just part of the process. But we have learned a ton and we are so looking forward to getting back as soon as we possibly can. But so that's what's going on right now. And everything else has been relatively quiet, really, over the last few months. Retirement is an odd thing. It's a strange thing to kind of get used to, especially when people keep asking me to work.
Right.
So
I'm trying to slow down, guys. Let it happen.
That's right. And the funny thing is, it's not just KMBZ. For the interim, we're living in I'm back in Western New York. I'm back where I was born.
Yeah.
And so WBEN, which is also an Odyssey station, has tapped me more than a few times to come in, you know, because they same thing. They got people that go out on vacation or whatever. So
it's good to be in high demand.
Yeah, I tell you. And the odd thing about it is in my entire radio career, this is the one market I had never worked in. So I never had a job in Buffalo, but, you know, finally on the air in Buffalo just as a kind of a fill-in guy. So that's been sort of fun.
And I saw on Facebook you went to the Bills game a couple of weeks ago. That's
awesome.
Yeah,
we went to the Dolphins game, which was – was that the Thursday nighter? Yeah, it was a Thursday night game. And check this out. We had one of the best things happen because we were trying to figure out how to get there without the headache of traffic, because where the stadium is in Orchard Park, Orchard Park is a small town. I mean, it's kind of out in the woods, and it, you know, it's not like central to Buffalo at all. So there's not a whole lot of big roads out there. Yeah. You know, the 90, the New York State Thruway goes kind of near it, but you still have a lot to drive before you get to the stadium. So we found out that the city runs buses. And, okay. You know, they're like charter buses. And one of them leaves from about 3 miles from here. And the cost is $5.
Oh, my gosh.
And the really cool part is the buses get to bypass the traffic. They get to go in the other lane.
The express lane? Just,
yeah, and just go by everybody and go, you know, kind of the back way into the stadium. So if you ever find yourself in Buffalo and really want to take in a Bills game, that is the way to do it.
I'll
no
have
doubt.
To keep that in so, mind. You mean it's not in downtown Buffalo? I thought all football stadiums were downtown.
Yeah,
at least right. That's what we're told.
Well, the old one was the old Rock Pile, War Memorial Stadium, which the Bills stopped using in 1972. And I think they knocked it down sometime around 1980. That was a downtown stadium.
Okay.
I got to see a game there, but it was not a football game because I was only 2 years old when they shut it down.
Yeah.
But the Buffalo Blazers were an outdoor soccer team for a while, and they used it. They used the old Rock Pile until they knocked it down. And so I got to see it. The funny thing is, about that, they had the scoreboard was one of the old manual scoreboards that you hang numbers on.
Oh, yeah?
It was that old.
That's pretty awesome.
And the score from the last Bills game was still there on the scoreboard. They got beat by Detroit in the last game at the Rock Pile. So in case you ever wondered, but yeah, did get to go to the game. That was wonderful because this is the last year for the current stadium.
Okay.
They're opening the new one, which is almost on the same property. It's right across the street.
And as that opens.
Oh, go ahead.
As a Kansas City, and I have to ask, it's privately funded, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, right. No. This is New York State, man.
Right, right.
they got a lot of money from the state and from the city and, of course, from selling PSLs and the whole nine. I mean, that's just what you do when you're building a billion-dollar stadium now. So, yeah, it looks really cool. And what they've done, it's still not going to be a dome because, I mean, the weather is one of the players here.
Yeah, didn't they have the chance for a dome and the fans overwhelmingly said no?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, we do not want a dome stadium. So it's going to have an overhang. It's going to be kind of like what the Cowboys did. So there's an overhang, but there's a hole in the middle of it.
Okay.
So, the weather still comes in. It's still going to be cold. But it was great to see. And just because I started going to Rich Stadium, which is what it was called back then, when I was a little kid, it was nice to be here and get to go to a game during the last season of its existence,
right.
You know? So just to have one more bite at the apple.
Well, I'm sure it's no surprise to you that we still have no idea where the future of the Chiefs stadium stands.
Oh, I've been following it.
Oh, yeah.
The Chiefs, the Royals, yeah, nothing. And the, I mean, the Frank White recall, that whole mess and the lawsuits and everything else. It's good to know that the crazy doesn't stop. It just kind of keeps rolling.
Yeah,
you know?
Now they're talking about bringing Kay Barnes back as the interim. So that's exciting news. We got that earlier today. So we'll see what she can do.
Fun while.
And I think that she's going to have the spot for 30 days minimum.
Yeah, at least that.
And then we go from there.
And then who knows? But I heard, in fact, I've been listening in a lot because I've been spending a lot of time in the car. So listened in, and I think it was Sean White who was on yesterday or the day before.
Sean Smith.
Sean White's the athlete.
Right.
Sean Smith, who was on with Jamie and Weir just a day or two ago, and heard a little bit of that and him talking about how this whole process is going to go. And the funniest thing was, I think it was Jamie that asked him, so are you interested? No, it was Weir who asked him, are you interested in the job? And he said, well, I'm ineligible because right. I'm a Republican and they elected a Democrat. So it's got to be a Democrat that replaces him. But yeah, I am looking forward to seeing how that whole thing shakes out and what effect it eventually has on the stadium issue, not to mention what effect it eventually has on getting something done to remedy the property tax situation. So, I mean, you keep your fingers crossed, right, at a time like this, and just think, can we get one person in that office who isn't going to be constantly at odds with the county board, and just maybe be able to get some things done that will make sense monetarily and otherwise to move the city in the right direction.
Well, and forward. Based on the allegations from Sean Smith and Manny Abarca, if their allegations are true, show up. I mean, we need somebody who's actually going to show up at the meetings, which, according to them, was not commonplace for the man that is, well, soon to no longer be in that position.
Yeah. Where does he go? that's the one thing I always question. Frank White never shows up. He never does interviews, never goes to the meetings. It's like, what did the man do?
I find it interesting that he waited to speak publicly about the whole situation until the day before the vote.
Yes. Right.
Seemed like odd time to do it, but you know.
I guess. And did he not see the writing on the wall? Yeah. Right. That even doing that, even finally coming out and granting an interview and speaking out and doing all of that wasn't going to do any good, especially 24 hours before the vote. So, again, the crazy just continues to roll. We've got a whole bunch of stuff going on the show today, by the way. We have guests who will be joining us. We're going to check in a little while with, of all people, Montel Williams. He's got a new book out, and
that's exciting.
We'll hear from him. Yeah, and I know you're a young guy, but see, I grew up on television shows that were made before I was born.
Okay.
Because we had, through reruns, you know, we had shows that the UHF station, all right, Sam, do you know what a UHF station is? Does that even mean anything to you?
I mean, I was making fun of the fact that kids don't know what CDs are these days. I have no idea what a UHF station is, John.
Okay. So back in the day, you had on television, you had numbers from 2 to 13. I was never able to understand why there wasn't a 1, but Channel 1 didn't exist. It went from 2 to 13, and maybe you had 3 stations that were in there.
Okay.
And then anything above 13 was on a different dial that went all the way up to like 70-something. So 2 to 13 were VHF, which is very high frequency, and then anything above 13 was what's called UHF, which was ultra high frequency, and that's where, like, the stations that weren't network stations generally were on UHF,
okay, you know,
local only. And what they would do is they would show these reruns of shows like Gilligan's Island and Gomer Pyle and all of this stuff in the afternoon when the kids were home from school so that we would have something safe to watch.
Right, rather than just the nightly news and all the doom and gloom.
Exactly. So that's the stuff that I grew up on. Well, those shows, Dobie Gillis and all the rest of them, those were made long before I was born. And I don't know if you had that same experience. Do you know from Gilligan's Island?
I am familiar with it. I've seen probably one episode all the way through in my life, but I get the references.
Yeah, well, Bob Denver's widow, Bob Denver is the guy who played Gilligan, of course, on Gilligan's Island. His widow is going to join us for a little while. She also has a new book out about him, and it's really terrific. It's kind of a coffee table book, a lot of pictures, a lot of stories, and a lot of stuff, like fan letters that Bob Denver got from famous people, you know, are in the book, the actual photographs of them. So it's kind of a scrapbook of his career. It's really cool. So we'll check in with her in a little while.
I see that you've maintained your incredibly deep Rolodex of famous people in your retirement.
I do what I can. So yeah, we'll have some fun with that. Coming up in just a minute or two, I want to talk about a movie that's on its way out at the end of October. I think it's coming out October 24th. I'll check that and make sure. And it's about, of all things, North Sentinel Island. And if you know from North Sentinel Island, it's one of the few places on Earth where you cannot go. And we'll tell you why and what this movie is all about in just a couple of minutes, because this is the first time, I'll be honest with you, I have not been excited about a movie released to theaters in a while. It's not that there haven't been some good movies out. There have, but it just, I think the last one that we saw in the theater was Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just, it seems a rare thing now, for me to see, you know, a movie release announcement and go, wow, okay, that is one that not only am I going to have to see it, I want to see that in a theater on a 40-foot wide screen. So We'll tell you all about it in a couple of minutes. Stick with us. John Grayson in for Dana and Park. Sam Stevie alongside, of course, enjoying a, what is today, Thursday?
Today is Thursday, October 2nd.
I'm retired, man. Days of the week don't mean nothing. We'll do some more talking coming up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes. John Grayson in for Dana and Parks this afternoon. And thank you for listening in and giving us a little bit of your time. If you want in, of course, you can do that thing. 913-586-7798. I just had to ask Sam for the phone number off the air because I couldn't remember what it was.
Retirement is setting in nicely, huh?
Yeah, I'm telling you. And it's been a time here. You know, it's funny because we've been focused on buttoning everything up, you know, just kind of getting everything that we need to do in the States done before we go. And so that's where my mind has been. Everything else has been kind of pushed to the side. But this crossed the desk a little bit earlier today, and I had to hand it to you because we mentioned North Sentinel Island just a minute or two ago. Do you know the history of that place, Sam? Do you know anything about it?
I know that it is one of the few places on Earth that is still completely untouched by technology. Yep. They have completely native tribes there that have not been ruined by modern technology. Of course, you know, modern medical advancements are good, but in terms of all of the distractions of social media, the internet, they have remained safe from all of that. And I specifically know of the island from all of the news stories about idiots that try to go there, which is against the law. Right. And they either get shot at by arrows and then convicted, or shot at by arrows and there's no chance to be convicted, if you get what I'm saying.
Exactly. And that's why it's illegal to go there. It's in the Indian Ocean on the west side of India. It's a group of islands called the Andaman Islands, and North Sentinel Island is one of them. And the reason why the Indian government made it not only illegal to get there or go there, but it also made it illegal to help somebody go there. So if you're like a charter captain and you're taking somebody out to North Sentinel, you get convicted too.
Wow. Okay.
Because the Sentinelese are incredibly insular. They do not want outsiders anywhere near them. And if you're an outsider and you go to that island, they will kill you. It's not even a question. They will kill you. So that's why. Well, in 2018, there was a guy named John Allen Chow, 26 years old, who did go to North Sentinel Island. And his story is now being told in a movie called Last Days. And I want to play a little bit, about a minute and a half of the trailer here. It's about a 2.5 minute trailer, but listen to this and see if this doesn't get you interested.
A young American on an evangelical mission.
To an off-limits remote tribe.
It's illegal.
Hello!
U.S. Consulate, you have an alert on a missing citizen.
John Chow, kid's a missionary. He's got a tip he might be headed to North Sentinel Island.
About the Americans, sir. There's more going on here, and you know it.
North Sentinel is the Mount Everest of the missionary world.
Exactly.
Start with something smaller.
I'm not thinking small. I'm going big.
You're not ready.
John, your mother and I have always supported you, but this is too extreme.
Look, I see you. You want to be that hero, but you got to build him the right way. From today on, this will be the story the world will know.
Is this the two of you together?
Is that a crime?
Helping someone get to North Sentinel Island is a crime. Where is John Chow?
If you plan to travel to the darkest corners of the globe, you must train to survive.
You should know what you're up against.
You travel halfway across the world because you think it's your job to save people.
The Sentinelese wouldn't just kill you.
You've always been a dreamer, John. But it's time to wake up.
That is what the movie is about.
Oh, yeah.
And
wow.
It sounds incredible. The guy who made the movie, the director on this one, is Justin Lin, who has experience in the Fast and Furious movies.
Okay.
He did Star Trek Beyond. And so he's a very... He directs very big blockbustery kind of movies, but in this case, he loves making indie films, and that's what this is. But it's got that kind of feel about it. Even just from seeing the trailer, it's got that giant feel about it. That, you know, when he's on the boat headed up to the island and raises the oar over his head, and you heard him yell "Hello!"
Yeah,
that it's spectacular, and that's why I need to see that one on a big screen, man. It just looks great.
It's got the epic emotion behind it, and forgive me, I don't remember the details, and spoiler alert if you want to see the film, but it is a news story. He raising the oar and yelling hello was the last thing he did, if I remember correctly, right?
that we know of. Yeah, what happened to him on that island, I don't think we have all of the detail on, but I, you know, it's one of those things. Normally I would research that so that I would have the knowledge going in. I kind of don't want to do that now.
Yeah.
You know, I want his version of the details, and I'll probably look it all up afterwards to see how much of it was sort of fictionalized and how much we really know. But still in all, that one just... North Sentinel Island fascinates me anyway. It's interesting that there is a place on Earth where you cannot go. So
we've also seen it with some of the indigenous tribes in the Amazon rainforest, because there are pockets of the Amazon rainforest that have been completely untouched, and not because people, explorers, didn't try to go there, but because the people living there said, stay out.
Yep.
And it's interesting to me, the people that try to get in contact, we always lean towards the person trying to bring Jesus to those people, right? And
sure,
those are the majority of those stories. And then you see the ones more recently where the kid got arrested, who was a TikToker who just wanted to go to the island. And I think that's far worse. I mean, at least if you're going there to try to bring them Jesus, at least you have some sort of quite literal mission in mind, rather than, let's see if I can get some clicks.
Yeah. And isn't that galling? I mean, that just that idea of, ooh, I can get more internet famous for this. Okay, gee, if that's what you really need to do with your day, I guess. But we'll do some more talking coming up. Again, if you want in, 913-586-7798. John Grayson in for Dana and Park. Sam Stevie alongside. Plenty more on the way. John Grayson in for Dana and Parks this afternoon. Yes, the drop dead date, or drop date, I guess, is tonight at midnight. The new Taylor Swift album is on its way out. What's the name on this one, Sam?
Life of a Showgirl.
Life of a Showgirl.
And
okay.
I specifically picked Midnight Rain. I had actually never heard that song before, but it has the word midnight in the title.
Because glad it didn't have any words we couldn't play then.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the lyrics.
Oh, okay.
At midnight tonight. There are 500 Targets around the country that are actually opening up at 10 p.m. so that folks can start lining up. So I think that would mean that they're just staying open till midnight and after. But they're saying that folks can start lining up at 10 p.m. to get their Taylor Swift Life of a Showgirl CD. The pre-orders are already sold out. But if you go in at midnight, you are supposed to be able to get your hands on, I think, 4 total discs that you can walk out with. But that is midnight tonight.
And this is confusing to me, because I was under the impression, especially if you are Taylor Swift's target audience, which is young and female. Obviously she's got to appeal beyond that, but that is the heart, the core of her demo is young and female. That if you were young and female, you don't buy CDs.
I made that joke yesterday, and it, you know, I am joking, but there's also some truth behind it, as all jokes do. That is she the greatest internet troll ever with this move? Because now she's saying, I'll show you how big I am. I'm going to get people who don't even know what a CD is to wait in line at 10 p.m. at their local Target to buy a compact disc so they can go home and do what with it? Because most people don't even own CD players anymore.
I mean, I'm sitting here and in front of me is my laptop, which does not even have a CD drive in it.
I had to specifically request, I bought a very, very nice PC during the pandemic so that I could broadcast from home. And I had to specifically request that it have a CD port in it. Because the standard, even 5 years ago, was to not put a CD port in a desktop computer, which was wild to me at the time, by the way. Even as a 23-year-old, I was like, what? I have this is more money so that I can get a CD player? By the way, the number of times I've used it, zero.
Of course, but you got to have it because there may come a time when you find a reason to do that. I use mine a lot. It's a multi-drive that is USB connected because that's the only way I can play any kind of a disc. But just to rip my movies into the computer so that I can then put them on a hard drive. And so if I'm out on a plane or something, I just bring my hard drive with me. So it reminds me, like 25 years ago, I remember seeing something that was a similar thing. It was like, now we live in a time where you need all kinds of special equipment to get your computer to show up on your TV. When I was a kid, that was the only way you could use a computer.
Right. Yeah.
They all connected to the TV. None of them had screens of their own. So yeah, all this stuff keeps coming full circle. But I had somebody, and I think if anybody could do this, Taylor Swift could, simply because of the incredible nature of her popularity, that suggested when CD sales started to wane in the early 2000s because of like LimeWire and all of the services were, Napster was the first one.
Yep.
And nobody was buying CDs anymore and the CD people were freaking out. And somebody called my show, this was back when I was in Nashville, and said, if these artists had half a brain, they would do the same thing that the sports card industry, like football cards, baseball cards, that they do, which is put in chase cards, short printed, really highly valuable. Like if Taylor Swift put this CD out and you knew that of every 10,000 of them that sold, one of them would have a certified autograph in it. Do you know how many more of them would sell?
That's true. I mean, it's the same thing with like the Pokemon cards.
Yes.
The off chance that you're going to get some super rare card, even though I don't know how many cards are in a pack, but whatever, the other 9 or 19 or whatever the total number is, aren't worth anything. They will sell more just simply based on the what if.
Right, because people would go out. I mean, we would do what we do with lottery tickets. People would go out and buy 12 of them, just to see, I didn't get an autograph in this one. I'll buy another one.
The Willy Wonka golden ticket move.
Right. But I mean, the odds just came out, for example, for the new McDonald's Monopoly game a couple of days ago. And they're incredibly long to win anything. The odds of beyond like free food and things like that, of winning any of the prizes, it's like a zillion to one. It's crazy. But people still do it just on the off chance that they're going to get one of those things. So I don't know. Good for Taylor Swift. I know it's going to sell like crazy. And
Textline has a great point. I mean, there is additional art that typically comes with a CD. So you'll get that little booklet that.
Sure.
Man, it's been so long since I bought a CD. I'm having to actually sit down and think about what comes in a CD when you buy it. But you're going to get the album booklet. And they also have another texter has a great point that she is selling far more vinyls than CDs. But vinyls are in a resurgence right now. I mean, we have a record player at home. We have, I don't know, probably 100, 150 records, which I realize is a lot, and none of them are that great. There are a couple of really good ones. But it makes sense to me that vinyl is making that resurgence, where I say that she is, kind of being a troll, but in the best way, because she's proving how popular she really is that she's targeting something that is in no way making a resurgence. In fact, it's still on its rapid decline.
Right. Yeah, I was going to ask if there was a vinyl. So there is a vinyl release that goes along with this one.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
It also is released tonight. I believe the way that she set it up, if you pre-ordered the vinyl, it will show up on your doorstep tomorrow.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
See, I have a love-hate relationship with the fact that vinyl is seeing a resurgence. I love it because I love my vinyl, but I hate it because it's making all my vinyl more expensive.
Oh, I know. Especially if you can find a super rare one from back in the day.
Right. And I do. I've got a couple of them. Here's a little tip for you. If you happen to be a Beatles fan, because if you do like the record shows and things like that, it's something that not a lot of people know about, but if you find the right people, and that kind of works in your favor. There's a story behind their first album. The first album on Capitol, the first release in the U.S., was Meet the Beatles. And it had I Want to Hold Your Hand on it and a whole bunch of other hits.
Yeah.
And that album, when Capitol kind of got caught with their pants down, because the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan in, I think it was February of 1964, and Capitol had the rights to the Beatles catalog at that point, but they didn't have the publishing rights. So in the deal is, if you don't have these two organizations, ASCAP or BMI, giving you the publishing rights, or you buy them from them, then if you put a record out without having those rights, you get fined and all kinds of stuff. Capitol didn't have them yet. And they were like, okay, right now it's more important to get product on the shelves. We'll pay the fine.
Right.
Because we're going to make a gazillion dollars off of this. So we'll just pay the fine and put the album out. So for the first month or so that Meet the Beatles was on store shelves, it did not have on the album label itself any reference to ASCAP or BMI.
Huh.
I have two no BMI copies of Meet the Beatles.
No way.
The mono copies are worth, because, I mean, they sold a bunch of them in that first month, so there's a lot of them out there. But the regular mono copies are worth between $100 and $150, where a regular Meet the Beatles original would be worth maybe $20 or $30.
Right.
But if you can find a stereo copy, which I do not have and I'd love to, then you're talking about somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,500.
So now I know what's in your safety deposit box.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're ever at a record show and you see an old copy, especially a stereo copy of Meet the Beatles, just pull the record out, look at the label, and where each song is, if it doesn't say ASCAP or BMI, grab that thing. I don't care what they're asking you
for
it.
Wow, okay. That's incredible. Huh.
Yeah. So, fun stuff. By the way, to flip topics here real quick, this is my video of the day. I absolutely love this because we did a kind of an outdoor wedding. When Jen and I got married, we got married on the top of a three-level restaurant bar down on Paso Grille Beach, which is Pinellas County, like St. Petersburg, Florida. And it was a place that kind of meant a lot to us, and it was nice, and it was on the beach. And we figured, since we were getting married on June 6th, which is D-Day, you know, getting married on the beach kind of made sense. So we did that, and there were no problems. Everything went off without a hitch. But it doesn't always go that way, because this is audio from a young couple that were getting married outside in a field. And I don't know what else was around there. I don't know why they chose that particular field, but at the opposite end of the field, there's a fence. And somebody showed up unannounced at exactly the right time. Let me see if I can get this to play.
Is anybody here who objects today to this wedding? Please speak now or forever hold your peace.
That's a cow.
Nice. That is so awesome.
Now, what that brings to mind to me is, what history does the groom have with that cow?
Right.
Because
I had a similar experience over the summer. I went to a wedding in Fulton, Missouri, and it was actually indoor, but the building was right next to a cow pasture. And I don't know why every single cow in the pasture decided right at that exact same moment that they would come right up to the windows of this building and mooed at the exact same point.
That's fantastic. You know, it does make me wonder, though, because they do that at every wedding. That's part of the script, is if anybody has a reason why this man and this woman should not be married, let them speak now or forever hold their peace. Has it ever happened?
I have heard stories of it happening. I don't think it ever ends well. And whether or not the wedding still continues, because that's like a weird one, right? You
right.
can get up and you can speak your peace with that, so that you don't have to hold it forever. But are the bride and groom going to be like, you know what? You're right. We're calling it off. It's over.
Boy, that was a solid point you brought up. We hadn't thought about that.
So I don't know. What is the point of that? I think it's just part of the legal processes so that people can object if they want to.
Yeah. And if you, like, if you're that guy, because that it would have to be somebody that was invited to the wedding, which would be even weirder. You know, it's like, I'm invited to this wedding, so I'm going to go there and object to it.
Right.
So if you're invited and you go and you voice your objection, and then they say, nah, we're getting married anyway.
Right.
Do you stay? Do you go to the reception?
Yeah. You make a toast afterwards. Like, well, you know, I objected, but you guys decided to do it anyway. So we'll see how it works out. Good luck. All right, Here's my divorce attorney.
I want to hear, yeah, if you have been at a wedding, or if somebody objected at your wedding, I want to hear the story. If you've got one of those, because I haven't been to that many weddings. I've probably been to maybe a dozen weddings over the course of time. And, you know, they always do that. And then a couple of seconds go by of silence, and then they just keep going because nobody objected. But if you've been to one, especially if it was yours, where somebody objected. 913-586-7798. We'll see if we can get to the phones here in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us. John Grayson in for Dana and Park, Sam Stevie alongside, and plenty more to come.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting up toward the 3 o'clock hour, John Grayson here in for Dana and Parks this afternoon. Sam Stevie alongside. Sam, you found some information about the objections at weddings.
So first of all, the text line immediately was flooded with people who said they didn't even include that at the last wedding that I went to.
Oh wow, okay.
The one over the summer did have it in there, so apparently it's up to the bride and groom these days. But where it really matters is Catholic weddings. This is prehistoric, if you want to call it that, a very, very long time ago, mm-hmm. when it was very difficult to tell whether or not, I don't know how it was difficult to tell, but this is what it says here on the Googles, whether or not somebody was a first cousin.
Oh.
So the objection
yeah.
was about close relations.
Got it.
So if the two were too close together in the old family chain, or if one of the two was already married, somebody was supposed to stand up and object on behalf of the other spouse.
That makes sense.
If there were some other illegality involved, whether it was a lack of consent, which I'm not sure how you got all the way to the wedding day, but, you know, the horrible things happen. Whether or not one of the two was underage, or whether or not, and again, specifically with the Catholic religion, mm-hmm. one of the two marrying parties was not actually Catholic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. That would be a problem. It would also be a problem if they, if one of the parties or both of the parties had gotten a divorce without getting an annulment.
Right.
Because then you can't. You Correct. Can't marry in the church after you do that. So,
it was specifically about Catholic weddings. And I guess, again, according to the text line, it is so uncommon now that people don't even have stories about it.
I think, that may be. And it also may be that, as they alluded to a little bit earlier, that it's not even included in the ceremonies anymore.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me to see that start to go away just because it's such a formality. It's just, okay, we're only doing this because we've always done it this way, and there's just really no point to it.
And now if you get all the way to the wedding day and you haven't figured out that that's your first cousin, I've got other questions.
Yeah, right.
A lot of other questions.
You, right. How would you not know?
Yeah.
It's like, Dad, do you happen to know her parents at all?
Right. Oh, yeah, that's my brother.
You're right. Oh, okay. Here's your news quiz for the day, Sam.
Okay.
Man in Florida was busted as a super speeder. Do we have super speeder laws in Missouri or Kansas? Do you know?
I don't know, but let me look.
Okay, yeah, the deal with the super speeder law is over a certain amount over the speed limit, and I think in Florida it's 50 over. Anything above 50 miles an hour over the speed limit makes you a super speeder, and it, of course, increases the fines because, I mean, that's what they want anyway. But you are actually eligible for jail time in certain circumstances in Florida just for speeding and being a super speeder. Well, this guy apparently made it to that benchmark.
Oh,
because he was going 107 miles an hour.
Woo!
Seems like you shouldn't really ought to do that. And when he was pulled over, the officer involved asked him, why were you going 107 miles an hour? And Sam, here's your quiz for the day. The man told the officer that he was going 107 miles an hour because he wanted to make an appointment with his what?
Dentist.
Close.
Okay.
but it's actually even a little bit worse than that. He said he was going 107 miles an hour because he had to make his appointment with his barber.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that hair, man, it's really got to get cut. By the way, you would ask, Kansas does not have a specific super speeder law, and I think Missouri is the same way. But if you go 35 miles an hour over the posted speed limit, it is officer's discretion, but you can be charged at that point with reckless driving.
Wow. Okay, there you go. Very good. All right, we'll do some more talking into the next hour. We will hear from Montel Williams in the next hour of the show as well, so stick around for that. Plenty more on the way as this Thursday afternoon continues on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.